session number 9875, reel 10.
Queer, and I was ill, really ill, and the nurse come running to me, you know, said, "Are you not well?" I said, no, I thought I was dying, to tell you the truth. So she dashed away, come back with two fellas, up on top with him quick, you know. So they got me on a stretcher and washed me up on top of deck, pretty handy, and placed me on deck. You know, I know, because I was looking out at the back of the boat, and as I came to, and I was in that for sure, I was champion, you know, much better, and I saw this red light. I've been watching that red light for some time, I had, behind us, and an officer come chatting, "How are you, son?" Oh, I said, "I'm not so bad at all." But I said, there's a red light, that red light's been following us, I said, ever since we left France. "Yes," he said, "that's our escort." I said, "Oh, that was a bit of a relief, you know. I thought it was a bloody sub following of me." Anyway.
Had you seen any other any other gas casualties, worse or the same as yourself?
No. Only in the hospital, there were some worse, probably, than me. But, I mean, you were that weak, and yourself, you didn't bother about nobody else, either next bed.
So you didn't know what
further
was
along. And there's a few in that hospital, you know, when I was in, with gas, the same.
Do you know if many of them died?
Not while I was in. No, I don't remember any. Unless they carried him off and I didn't know. Yeah. I wasn't interested, you see. You never notice nothing when you're so ill and lying there.
So
you might have carried a fellow off from that corner to die, and I didn't know. Anyway, you're not bothered about them. All you're bothered about is yourself. It might be selfish, but it's there.
Where did you land back in England?
Birmingham, Dudley Road Infirmary.
When you first got to England, though? You went south?
Southampton. Then straight on the train.
Did they ask you where you wanted to go?
I mean, not then, but they did later on.
Right.
When I came home with my leg, they did.
But this time they just sent you to Birmingham?
They just put me on the train, and I find the train takes me to Birmingham, Dudley Road Infirmary. The largest infirmary in England, I believe, Dudley Road. And the poorest, as far as I'm concerned, too.
Was it specially for gas victims, or...?
No, it was for all sorts.
So, what sort of... how did they treat you when you first arrived?
Oh, badly. Badly, she said to me. When I first arrived, the nurse came round with her sister, or whatever she was. And the first thing she asked me, when I was laid in bed there, "Would you like a cup of milk?" Mind you, I've been living on bloody milk for nearly a fortnight. And nothing else. So you can imagine what my answer was. "Bloody milk," I says. "I've lived on nothing else for 12 days, only milk. "Well, I'm sorry," she said. I had to apologise later on. Doctor told me I better apologise to her. So I did do. She understood. I had to apologise. And from there, they sent me to Eastbourne Convalescent.
You said you didn't. You said something about Dudley not being very good. Why?
Was wrong.
What was wrong with the food when you did get some?
It was poor. Poor stew and poor food altogether. I say it was poor food, for hospital especially.
Did you get enough of it?
Well, there's enough of it seems we didn't like it.
Did they
I was glad to get out of it.
How did they treat you, though? I mean, what treatment did they give for your gas?
Oh, nothing extra. No. They just fed us. They Did just you? Fed me, and I don't think they gave me any medicine whatever.
Your gas symptoms, had they changed at all? You weren't getting this green bar?
No, no.
Were you short of breath, or did your lungs hurt, or your chest?
Oh, I was a bit short of breath.
Did your chest hurt? Did your chest hurt by then?
No, not really. But I was short of breath. I used to breathe a bit hard, you know. And, of course, as time went on, I breathed easier.
And, so how long were you at Dudley?
A fortnight.
Did you get any visitors while you were there?
No. No, I didn't ask my parents to come so far to Birmingham, you know, or anybody.
Any local people showing an interest?
Well, they did when we were arriving. They were shoving boxes of chocolates on the stretcher and things like that, you see. As you were passing by, as they were carrying you into the hospital, shove a packet of cigarettes on you. What's the name? A little box of chocolates, something like that, you know.
Did you
two or three bananas?
Did you appreciate that?
Oh yes, of course. Yeah.
So, talking of box cigarettes, I presume you hadn't been able to smoke.
Oh no! Oh dear, no smoking while you've got gas. Oh no!
So you hadn't started.
I didn't smoke for some time. No.
Was that your own common sense that stopped you, or did someone tell you?
No, it was the feeling. Didn't want them. No. I'd had enough with the gas going down, never mind. Sick, cheap cigarettes.
So?
Anyway, said you'll be going to Eastbourne, convalescent. Oh, damn glad to. Off we went to Eastbourne, and we had a glorious time in Eastbourne. Yeah. Grand hotel.
What was your accommodation like there?
Well, it was a nice and hot, with nice beds and everything. Lovely meals. All the time in the world to yourself, to go climbing Beech Hill, lying on top of Beech Hill.
You had no duties at all then?
No. No.
Were there nurses or anything there, or...
Doctors. Yes, but they were only when you were poorly, like, you know.
So you'd have to report sick to get treatment?
Yes, you had to go to the doctor, yes.
What was the daily routine then? You'd get up and...
Get up, have your breakfast, and go for a walk, probably towards Beech Hill Head, you know, and not up there, and back again. But you couldn't play no games, really.
Was walking all right for you?
We used to play cards. Yes.
No problems with walking?
Oh, no, we were all right for
Could
walking.
You run?
Well, I didn't attempt much anyway to run for a while, no. Same climbing Beech Hill, at Beechy Head, to take it very nicely, you know. But I got going up faster than that afterwards. Later on, because I was there nearly 3 months.
So, was there any sport?
No, not really. No, there was no football teams or anything like that.
So what games...
I was passing the time on. Painting. I was painting the side of me. I painted a lovely picture. I was on the end seat of the Nissenot. Well, the side was all white. You know, like, it was lined with, not like plaster, but plastic. All white. And I painted a lovely picture. Myself, do it and painted it of an airplane dropping a bomb on that airship. You remember, airplane went up and dropped bombs on one of the airships we had, you know. And set him on fire. And I drew that on the... And it was complimented on it by lots of people.
You drew it and then...
And there were some posh people who used to come, you know. There was one woman came in a Rolls Royce every day to see one young fellow in there. Oh, he was wealthy. Used to bring golf clubs for him to go and play golf. He took me one day, said he'd give me a trial, you know. with him. I went with him.
How
I said,
come
on, I'll give you a try. Well, I couldn't do anything much. I could hit it, you know. Couldn't do anything much. The only once I went like that, because at the finish she took him away. She must have got him free, you know, and signed off like. And
right out of the army or out of the convalescent?
Oh, I wouldn't say. Out of the convalescent, that's all I know. She took him away in his Rolls-Royce.
Do you remember who he was?
No, never bothered. I don't remember his name at all. Well, I can't think of it today, anyway. But he was somebody wealthy from London.
What were the rest of the people in the camp like? They were all
they were
wounded.
Nice. They were all soldiers, wounded soldiers.
Did you talk about your experiences?
Oh, yes, there were many. A chat about them. Oh, yes. You know, the Grand Hotel... They gave the Grand Hotel up one day for us. It was all ours, the Grand Hotel.
Tell me about that.
The rich people that lived at the Grand Hotel had to come with their own car, drive their own cars. No chauffeurs. They had to drive their own cars to our camp, you know, and get us aboard, take us down to the hotel. And they met us there, they pinned a flag on here, and I don't know what, you know. And it's pleased to, so nice to have you here, and this and the other boss of the hotel. And we had to dine. Bloody hell, what a meal. Never had one like it in my life, you know. A meal like that, I hadn't then. Lady Paget was sat at her table, feeding a fella that only had one arm and a half arm, really, just feeding. And the manager made a speech while we were dining, and it was a beautiful speech. He had all the ladies crying. Yeah, the waiter says he had them crying, and some of the soldiers too. I think he touched me too.
What was he saying?
We wouldn't have such places but for you boys, you know. It's yours, it's not ours, it's your hotel, this, you know. And welcome as anybody ever has been, whoever they were. And you must eat and eat, and what you can't eat you must put in your pocket and take back to camp. And then we went on the lawn, all had to retire on the lawn. And the orchestra, the famous orchestra that used to play in the Grand Hotel, you know, used to be on the telly quite a lot. They played for us. And we had chocolates to bags of them and cigarettes to smoke while we sat on the lawn. And then all the cars had to take us back to camp. With the drivers, he insisted that the owners of the cars should drive us.
Did anybody? How did you feel about this? Because this,
well,
in some
you
ways,
felt you were rather glad, you know, that you were a soldier and you were doing a bit. You felt rather, especially when he made that speech in there. He said, "We really owned it." He said, "It's yours."
Did anybody feel it may be yours for the day, but for the other 364 days? It stays with the people who own it.
Well, of course, that's how it was.
Did anybody... I mean, I'm not putting that forward. I'm wondering whether there was anyone there who thought
oh,
that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But, you know, they used to come up to the camp and take three or four of us for a ride, you know, or two or three of us, all round Pevensey Castle, around there for a ride. It was summertime, too, you know. It was lovely. Well, there was always cigarettes and chocolates in the back of the rolls, you know.
You had a sweet
sometimes
tooth.
They'd send the what's the name for us, the chauffeur for them trips, you know. And then we'd end up by dining in the kitchen of the big house with the servants a time or two. We'd go in and have tea with them and the chauffeur, you know, and the servants. They'd drive us back to camp. You said to him, "Hey, we don't go in bloody camp. Have a girl, see it, so and so. Take us there, bottom of Beachy Head." You know, or something like that, the driver. They'd take us there, you know, to meet you. glorious, Dan.
You got on well. What about with the ordinary civilians, the not so rich ones? Did you get on well with them?
Oh yes, oh yes. They were all very nice. Everybody was nice.
Did they treat you like a hero, so to speak?
Oh yes, yes. We were in blue, you know, the hospital blue. We had them doctored up, you know, made to measure, flashed ties, and so forth to make ourselves posh, you know. Oh, aye. I had a photograph, you know, that I showed you in there, taken there, teach one.
Did you get a visit from your parents while you were there?
No, not at each one. Too far.
You'd let them know you were all right, though.
Oh, yes, and they didn't mind, you see. Yes, they knew I was fine. They were quite satisfied. So they ought to be, too. I was far better off than they were, you know, there.
Did you worry about your chest at all, about whether you might have trouble in the future?
No. Well, I thought perhaps it might, but it never came back, you know.
You've never had trouble since?
Not really. I have, of course, been short of breath some time, you know. But I don't think it was that gas. I don't think so. It could be. It's taken it a long time to get old properly. I had a good time there.
So you were there 3 months?
I had to ask to come home.
What?
You see, I'll tell you when I came home, in August. Now, I joined up in August, didn't I? August 10th. Well, I'd never been home, you see, never been on leave or anything. So being at Eastbourne this nearly 3 months, I was fed up. And I wanted to come home and see them.
That was what, you were homesick?
Yeah, I was homesick.
Were you fed up about anything else about
no.
Eastbourne?
Oh, no, I'd have stopped there for good. No, nothing else. Just because I was homesick. So I came home.
How did you manage that?
I went to see the commandant. I'll tell you, who was he? He was a big circus man. He was a famous circus man, the total boss at the Summerdown camp. Eastbourne. He was a big circus man, famous circus man. He was the head of it.
What did he say?
Oh, he's very nice. Yes, all right, he said. Well, you can go. We'll give you a pass home and a leave pass, you know, for 14 days.
And were you to report back to Summerdown or were you to go?
No, I had to report back to Hull.
Did you realise you'd be sent back on active service again?
Well, I didn't think I would, having been gassed. But the doctor bloody soon showed me I was fit A1 again.
We'll come to that. So at the time, you didn't think you were, in getting yourself discharged from the convalescent camp, you didn't think you were putting yourself nearer to the front?
Oh, no, I didn't think so, no.
You thought you'd finished?
I thought I had a bit of a chance of hanging on, you know, in England. Oh, no.
Did you want to get back?
And I wasn't long before I went back, either.
Did you want to go back to active service?
No, of course not. But that was when I went to the Dardanelles.
Right.
For the change.
So let's go. You went home on leave. And what happened there?
What?
On leave. Did you get a big reception?
Oh, yes. They hadn't seen me for 12 months. It was the first time they'd seen me since I joined up. There had been 12 months of war gone, so they were delighted to see me, of course, and I was okay.
Did you tell them what it was like?
Oh, yes. And I had a nice time.
Did you tell them, when you say you told them what it was like, did you tell them what it was really like, or did you sort of tone it down a bit for them?
Probably toned it down a bit, because I was happy at home then, you see. I wasn't so bothered about war. And then,
did you see your old friends, or had they all joined up? Did you see your old friends, or had they joined up?
Oh, some of them joined up. Oh yes, some of the pals had joined up. They were away in the war. Oh yes.
Would you get free beer?
No, not that. No, nothing like that. I don't can't think of too much beer then, to tell you the truth.
No. Had you started smoking again?
Oh yes, I was smoking.
So you were back. You were back on cigarettes after the gas.
I was back on cigarettes.
By then,
yes. I stopped.
After the 14 days, where did this end you?
Hull, I think it was this time. Hull. There were some soldiers of ours in Hull, and a sergeant.
Which battalion were they attached to?
Oh, well, they were. This sergeant was a 1st Battalion man, and he'd been wounded and come back to England, you know. And he'd got a job as like soldier police, you know, in Hull.
Military police.
Military police in Hull. He got a job like that. And when I got back there, he said I could be his assistant. I said, good. And he lived at the police station, Hull police station. And I lived there with him, you know, in the police station. So we used to go trotting out, and he'd land fellas in that were drunk and all that, you know. And
did you have a special uniform, or did you have an MP?
No, I had neither. I just had an ordinary uniform, an ordinary corporal, you know. I didn't have no special thing.
So what were you?
He didn't have either.
What were your duties?
Well, if there's any trouble, to see into that. And I'll tell you what I used to do. When fellas got sentenced to 96 days or something like that, as they used to get then, I used to take them on bus to Hessle.
To where, sorry?
Hessle. Hessle, H-E-S-T-L-E. Hessle Jail, where they hang them. They hung them in Hessle Jail then. And I used to take them there. Put them in jail. Take them in jail.
Not the ones to be hung.
No, none to be hung. As a matter of fact, the warder asked me if I wanted to see the hanging place. I said no. I didn't bother. He'd have taken me to it, you know, sure it were the hung one. But I didn't bother.
What was the mood? Did you have an escort with you?
Yes. I had two or three soldiers with me, yeah. And when we used to get through the big gates, then another lot of big gates, and then the big building with the little tiny windows, the bars up. There was hands coming through the bars. You know, they could see us, we couldn't see them, but they could see us down below. And there was hands waving through, you know, pals or something, I answered there. But I was glad to get out of that bastard place, you know. When I took them, I was glad to come out again. Ugh. There was two great big fellows there waiting for him. You didn't know her on. It was like Kojak. One big, sandy fella. His sleeves rolled up to here, you know, great big arms on him. Come on. Used to whip him in them places.
You got the impression that discipline might have been tough there.
Oh, it was. There's no doubt about it. The lad said so. And I could understand it too with them fellas. Great big giants of fellas they were.
Did you feel sorry for the prisoners?
Yes, I did. Mm. Yes, I did. I felt sorry for them. Mm.
How did they behave? Were they fed up?
Let them smoke like anything on the bus going. And, you know, that because that was the last for a while. Ah, 96 hours some of them had to do, and different, usually they used the sentence so many hours, you know, like that. Oh, and at Saturday night the police, they used to bring the prostitutes in and everything, you know, bang them in that cell down below yard, just with the, it was like in the yard, just with the big bars. Well, there they were, all in there, weeing all over the place, you know, and cursing. Oh, we should have heard them curse, these women. It was horrible. And there'd be about 30 in it Saturday night. Yeah. And then you'd see the police shearing the money out of Prince Stuffham. Ah, you stick it off him, you know. Oh, you have 1 and 6 in your pocket. Probably £2, 1 and 6, more like it. But the police had that.
What did you think of the police?
Not so much.
Why not?
Well, because of that, like, you know.
Now, you were just there to deal with soldiers.
Yes.
Now, what did you go on patrols?
No patrols. Only walking the streets. Because this sergeant, he was caught in a young lady from a stall in the market. We were all spent all our time there and getting stuff from her and getting stuff for us, you know. We used to come back loaded up. Come on, he said, let's have a walk through the market. It was only to have an hour's chat with her, you know. That was all it was.
Did you ever have any trouble with drunken soldiers or sailors?
Oh, no. No, I don't remember any rough stuff at all.
Were the troops well behaved?
Oh, yes. When you once got them, they were satisfied.
What do you mean, you once got them?
When you arrested them, said, come on, you're going in with me.
They didn't object?
Oh, many a time they did, you know, and scuffled a bit, you know. But this sergeant, come on now, get you another 96 on top of that, you know.
What sort of offences did you pick them up for?
It was mostly drunkenness, or having a scrap with somebody, you know. That's what it was mostly for. We didn't catch any thieves, as I know of, or murderers. No.
Now, when had you started on this job?
Might have got a deserter or two.
How did you catch them?
Well, the sergeant might have spotted one or two. Said, that fellow's a bloody deserter, I'm telling you. Because he knew the fellow had appeared, you see, and, you know, went from somewhere, and he didn't know where. He said, he's a deserter. So he started asking him questions, you know.
What sort of thing would he ask? Were you there then?
Oh, yes, I'd be standing there while he was asking him the questions. Where had he been? What mob did he belong to?
He'd be in uniform?
Yes. Where had he come from? What mob? What division? You know, what brigade? Just to test him all over like that. How long have you been here in this city? When did you come?
Was he a local man, the sergeant?
No, oh no, it was the whole
so
man.
He didn't have any local knowledge?
Oh
then.
No. No, he was a Cockney, I should say. He was a Londoner more than anything. Londoner, Birmingham he was. He was a smart fella, you know.
So he'd trick them eventually, would he?
Yes, he'd get to know, you know. And then the police, he'd get the police helping him if he was a deserter. Do you see? He'd get the police also on the job.
So he'd call them in?
And they'd arrest him if they thought enough to ask him some more questions and find out while they wired this and wired that.
How did you feel about deserters?
Well, I hoping they got away with it, for that matter. Because my pal was a deserter. I'm sure he was. He vanished on leave, never came back.
So you didn't really like that side of the job?
Well, we were there like that, and still we were soldiers ready for a draft too, you know. Because I was marked up to go abroad.
How long did you do that for?
Oh, a few weeks it was, that's all. A few weeks.
So September 19th?
Yes, perhaps like that. And I was called back. And I found out I was marked A1 by the doctor. And I was going back on a draft. So I persuaded the officer to put me on the Dardanelles draft. I'd had enough of France. And he agreed.
What was the inspection like? The medical inspection that put you down as A1. Was it thorough?
Yes, fairly thorough. Mm.
Do you think it was fair?
Not absolutely, because he didn't really need any inspection. He knew I'd been gassed so long months before, and he knew I'd been convalescent for over 2 months. Them things was enough without any test, I think.
What, you should have been allowed some more time at least?
Oh, I think so. I should have never gone back. I don't think me. Surely they weren't hard up to one man as had done so many months out there. But I did it twice. They did it twice to me, never mind once. I even went back again.
Name chosen.